You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you, worship team. What a joy to be with you all. I do love Jesus. I love being married to my Dan, and we love being missionaries. We are so thankful. Jesus said, "Will you follow me?" And we said, "Yes, we will follow you." And it is our joy, and I am praying that if he is saying to any of you, "Come follow me," your answer will be, "Yes, I'm coming." Goodness ahead. Dear Jesus, we welcome you into our chapel hour. I have nothing to say, but you are the word of life. So would you come and open the word to us this morning? You know what we need to hear from you. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, that you're here. In your holy name, amen. All right, this is Mission Week. Great Commission Week. And going into missions, if Jesus is calling us to go to the world, there's a couple things we have to be ready for. So there was a lawyer, a teacher, who came to Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Hey, that's a great question, right? Three cheers. That's the question we want the whole world to be asking." And Jesus said to the teacher, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." I have a question for you, Asbury. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Because this is the greatest commandment. And we have to be able to say yes to the greatest commandment if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So what we're talking today is we're going to really live in the Great Commission of Acts 1:8. We have Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always." But we're going to go into Acts 1:8. Do you all know this one? "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We're in big business. It's an invitation as well as a command. And it is our joy to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we are empowered to be his witnesses. Now, they asked me specifically to talk about Samaria. Ooh, Samaria's hard. So I thought, well, I better get in the word and see, Jesus, what actually happened in Samaria? So I started doing some Bible study. Now, I have to tell you all, I am a paper and pen, a marker and crayons kind of a girl. And so I did my Bible study on a giant piece of paper. Now, there's nothing magical about how I do Bible study. My husband is an amazing man of God, and he never gets on the floor with a piece of paper and markers. But he likes it when I do. And I'll be like, Dan, look what Jesus is saying. Look from right here all the way through to here. Do you see it? And then he comes with all of the rich insights and wisdom that God has revealed to him. And all of a sudden, the Bible study that we do together gets richer and deeper. So I brought my scroll with you today for you all to just get an idea. Sometimes it's fun to scribble out on paper. Sometimes it's fun to do the computer. Sometimes he's just talking to your hearts. But sometimes you just put it all out there. Be creative in how you study the word. Because if we're going to be missionaries, loving him with all our hearts, mind, soul, strength, be loving our neighbor as ourselves, the next part is we have to love the word. The word as well as the word. We have to know the word as well as the Word, so we can teach the Word, so we can share the Word. Oh, do you know your Bibles? Are you in the Word? Has it come alive for you? Keep working on it. This is life. Now, Samaria. Here we go. It started, I was thinking, Samaria, woman at the well, Jacob's well. So I started Genesis 33. And then as I did my Bible study, it was even more so. Genesis 12. God comes to Abram. And he says, Abram, who has journeyed, follow me. And Abram comes out of the land of Ur, out of the land of Haran, follows Jesus, brings his wife, his nephew, his possessions. And he finds himself, here's my little map of Israel. Can you see it? He finds himself here at the Oak of Moreh near Shechem. Oh. And while he's there, God shows up. And it literally says, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And Abraham built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So the first player in the land of Samaria is God himself. He calls Abraham into it, and then God shows up and says, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. Two generations later, we have Jacob, Genesis 33. Oh, Jacob finds himself right back there in that same place that God met Abraham, his grandfather, and the Lord comes to Jacob as well. Now, Jacob at this point needed a place to erect his tent. They're still nomadic. And he paid 100 shekels to buy the piece of land right there. See on our map? So now we have a little piece of land to pitch his tent. And while he was there, he built an altar. And he called the name of that altar El Elohe Israel, God, the God of Israel. So first of all, we have God showing up to Abraham saying, I'm going to give you this land. And then we have Jacob saying, I claim this land as God's land. This land belongs to the God of Israel. All right. Now, here's the goodness. Are you all reading your Old Testaments? I love the Old Testament. Let me tell you, this is a great challenge. Get in the Word. 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Kings. Thrilling. Put it in your ears and just listen. It's better than a novel. They make movies about this stuff. But from this point to this point, we have all of this amazing story of Samaria. Now, did you know that in 1 and 2 Kings, which is coming after the nation is established, after the kingdom of Saul and David, then Solomon, and then I'm sorry to say, Solomon's son Rehoboam, there was sin in the camp, and the kingdom was split, and we have the northern kingdom, and we have the southern kingdom. Now, the southern kingdom, there were some who walked with God, and they had some godly kings, but the northern kingdom, whose capital was Samaria, did not ever have a godly king. From the beginning, they worshiped and served other gods and graven images. So this is our story. We're picking it up in 2 Kings. I have a terrible story to tell you. Ahaziah, the king in Samaria, was up in his upper chamber and fell through the lattice, and he lay very sick and was afraid he was going to die. So he sent messengers and said, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover from this sickness. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, God's man in Samaria, and said, arise, Elijah, go. I want you to go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask what will happen to you? Now, thus says the Lord, you will not come down from the bed to which you have gone. You will surely die. And Elijah, in obedience, because if we're going to follow God, it's all in obedience, just like Abraham. In obedience, Elijah went and told Ahaziah, and Ahaziah died. You do not call on the gods of the other lands when you have El Elohe Israel, the God of Israel, as your God. And God takes it very seriously. Now, right here, 2 Kings 5, if any of you don't have an idea where to have your devotions tonight or tomorrow morning, read 2 Kings 5. There was a raid on the land of Israel, and the Syrian army captured a little maiden, and they took her to the household of Naaman, who was the commander of the Syrian army. And Naaman was a leper. And the little maiden, who had had the worst happen to her, who had been ripped, kidnapped from her home and homeland, and is now a slave in this high officer's household, saw the need, leprosy. And she said to her mistress, "Oh, that my lord would go to the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." And 2 Kings 5 is the story of Naaman hearing the witness of a little kidnapped slave, and who said, "In Samaria, there is one who speaks for God." And Naaman went, and the God of Samaria, El Elohim Israel, the God of who heals, healed him. And there were two armies, two countries, one household that literally heard of God himself, the true Lord living God himself, because of the witness of one little slave. Don't you love it? Okay, now I wish I could tell you all the more stories, but we would be here for forever a day and your professors would be grumpy. It just keeps going. Read 2 Kings. It's thrilling. It's shocking. It's amazing. And we get all the way here to the end of the Old Testament, and God says, "Enough, dear northern kingdom. The capital is Samaria. You are on my heart. I love you, but you have forsaken me." And in the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried the Israelites away to Assyria. What? This is all part of God's nation. This is all part of God's people. What's happened? Because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And they had feared other gods and walked in customs of the nations that God had said, "Do not walk like them." And the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God things that were not right. Careful. No hidden sin. God sees. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. They served idols, of which the Lord said, "You shall not do this." The Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways. Keep my commandments and my statutes. Keep my laws that I commanded your fathers." But they would not listen. They were stubborn as their fathers had been, and they would not believe in the Lord their God. They went after false idols and became false. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. And Assyria came and took most of Israel out. No more. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cuthah, Ava, Hama, and Seraphim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the people of Israel. Oh, this is a terrible thing, and it does happen in our world today. All these ones come in. Oh, does God care about these ones that are living in his land that he's claimed he would give to Abraham's descendants? Now, these people at the beginning of their dwelling there did not fear the Lord, so the Lord sent lions upon them, and some of the lions killed some people there, and the people were filled with fear. So they sent back to the king of Assyria and said, "Hey, the people that you put in the land of Samaria do not know the law of the God of the land, and he has sent lions, and they are killing them." And if the king said, "Well, get one of the priests that we took out and send him back in so he can teach the people the law of the God of the land, and the killings of the lions will stop." So It says one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. God has Samaria on his heart. Let me do everything I can, even as you turn in all your wickedness away from me. Let me do everything I can to say, come back, come back. Even bringing back a priest out of exile to be there. But I'm sorry to say, every nation of the ones in Samaria made gods of its own. They feared the Lord. But they also serve their own gods. They feared the Lord, but they serve their graven images, their children likewise, and their children's children. And they do to this day. Do you remember the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And this is where we are at the end of the Old Testament, where the prophets have been crying out to the people, both Judah and Israel, saying, please return, return to God himself. And the ones that are up in Samaria, in the northern kingdom, said, no, we're gonna mix it all in. But no, we will not wholly serve the Lord our God. So we get to Luke 2. And the angel of the Lord came to the shepherds, and he said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus has come, the hope of the world. Now, as we are looking at Samaria, and this is our thing, how do we, full of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, be his witnesses in Samaria? Samaria is very hard. It is full of people who are like us, but different. It's very confusing. Which part of your different is just different, and which part of your different is wrong, wicked, evil, sin, and I can't have anything to do with that? Because I'm God's. And this was the confusion with the people of Israel, the Jews. We can have nothing to do with Samaritans because they have believed lies. They are wicked. We want to follow God and be whole and clean, holy. So we can't touch the wicked. So how does this work? It's very confusing. We have the same language, or do we? You say this and I say the same word. Do we mean the same thing? Samaria is hard. Dan and I lived in Hungary for 25 years, and Hungary is a very monocultural country. They are a strong, fierce, amazing people, and there are not many internationals in Hungary, but there is a people group that's there, the Roma. So we have the Hungarian people, and then we have this Roma. The Roma people live throughout Europe, and another name for them are gypsies. So I first became friends with my Roma friend, Aniko. I noticed every week when I put my trash out the next morning, she would come and go through my trash can. So after a couple weeks of watching her, I went out to the gate and I said, excuse me, my name is Kati, and how can I help you? What are you looking for? Because I will not put it in my trash can. I will put it on top of my trash can, and you don't have to dig through all the trash to find what you're looking for. And so began our friendship. And she was the matriarch of a whole clan, a Roma clan. Very confusing. I never could figure out who was related to who, how it worked. It was like a little compound in the middle of a Hungarian neighborhood. The Hungarians that we loved, our neighbors, hated that I was friends with Aniko. They did not like her. They did not like that I was friends with her. It was very scary. They would say to me, Kati, Kati, be careful, Vidyas. Her son is one of the most wicked men we know. And it was true. All the stereotypes that come with when I say the word gypsy, I'm sorry to say, of course, they're not true for every Roma, but on the whole, they are true. You never could tell if they were telling the truth. They lied so much. They stole. They were all alcoholics. The men were lazy. The women were slaves. The children were abused in every way. I would go to her house. I could only go in the morning because it wasn't safe to go in the evening, and I never could take my children with me. And I would go and come back so confused. Jesus, this Samaria is hard. I don't understand. Only the Holy Spirit can untangle. I would talk about Jesus. Egan, Jesus. As she said, and there she is. She would have a picture of Jesus sometimes in her house. And then there's all the pain, all the sin, all the hurt, right? Nobody's walking with Jesus. Utter confusion. And I'm like, Jesus, I can't untangle this. He said, no, you be my witness. I'll be God. One Easter morning, I woke up very early. We had a house full of people, lots of company. On Easter Sunday, we celebrate Easter, and in Europe, on Easter Monday, we have Easter Monday. So it's Easter Monday, and Jesus said, Katie, go to Anikos. So I was like, oh, great. And I had a little bag of treasures, Kinder eggs, a little book about the story of Easter, just some little treats. I grabbed it up, said, Dan, you take care of the company. Breakfast is out if they start waking up. And I buzzed off to Anikos. Now, on Easter Monday in Hungary, the men and the boys wake up early, get dressed to the nines, and they go from house to house to sprinkle water, or sometimes buckets of water, or squirt perfume, on girls. They say a little poem, and then the girls have this delicious spread of food, and they give them money, chocolates, red eggs they've dyed, all these treats. So girls stay at home and literally get nothing, and the boys come, except getting sprinkled and stinky with all the perfume, and then the boys come home with treasures galore. Well, I got there, and all the boys in the compound and the men were gone, and I had this Jesus moment with all of the women and the children. And I was sitting on the little couch bed in their dark room, and I pulled out my story that was of the story of Easter. Jesus helped me. He strengthened my Hungarian. I told the whole story of Jesus, gave the girls their treats in their own hands. And right when I got done, all the men came in. And everywhere you go, you drink. So, of course, I had to leave immediately. It was out of control crazy. And as I was walking home, I just could not stop crying. I was like, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about those little girls? They're so skinny and malnourished. There's money or stolen goods, always cigarettes, always alcohol, chocolates for the boys, but the little girls, nothing but abuse. Jesus said, what are you talking about, Katie Beth? Do I care? Who woke you up this morning? I did. Who said, go see Aniko? I did. Who had helped you get all those little things put together and put in a bag that your hand actually landed on? Who was the one that helped you tell this story so they heard the true Easter story this morning? Katie Beth, I see. I care. Aniko and her family are on my heart. And as I went up the stairs into our house with all of our company waiting, dear Jesus, you're doing a good job, and I'm with you. How do we take Jesus to Samaria? We go with him. Now, look here. There's two places in the New Testament where Jesus interacts with Samaritans. Luke 17, Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he saw them, he said to them, how does Jesus relate to Samaria? He sees and he speaks. Go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this one foreigner? And Jesus said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, lo, here is the kingdom of God, or behold, there. No, behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. I have come. And there was one Samaritan who, when he realized Jesus had healed him, turned around and, giving great praise, ran, fell at his face, and thanked him. The kingdom of God has come, and that Samaritan did not miss Jesus. Now, our big story, and you know, Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee and had to pass through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the cave, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. And so Jesus, wearied as he was by his journey, sat down. It was about the sixth hour. How does Jesus go into Samaria? He goes into Samaria intentionally. He sits down in Samaria. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Oh, Caesar engages, initiates conversation. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, are asking a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who drank here, and his sons and his cattle? And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, for that water that I will give him will be in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. What does Jesus do when he meets a Samaritan woman? When he comes into Samaria, initiates conversation, offers living water to quench every thirst, satisfy every need, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then he said to her, go call your husband and come here. And she answered, I have no husband. And he said to her, you are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five, and the one with whom you are now is not your husband. You said this truly. Oh, Jesus puts the sin on the table, or maybe it's on the altar. The shame, the pain, Jesus knows. He doesn't hide it. He has come to save us from our sins. And the woman said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Oh, good for her. And our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. And she says, I know the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ, the one who will show us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah, the Christ, the one who has come to show you all things. Where did Jesus say that? In Samaria. So the woman left her water pot and ran to the village and said, come, come and see a man who has told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all I ever did. And when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him, would you stay with us? Oh, an invitation to stay. And Jesus stayed 2 days. Is that important? He would have had to sleep with them, eat with them, be with them, change his schedule, not just rushing through, stopping, being with. This is how Jesus came to Samaria. And when the Samaritans, many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of your word that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know this is indeed the Savior of the world. How do we be his witnesses, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of the abiding Spirit and presence of Jesus Christ? We go to Samaria. We engage. We initiate. We don't mind the discussion, the back and forth, the trying to figure it out. Jesus offers living water. We can offer Jesus. Jesus reveals himself, Messiah. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus, the one who will show you all things. And then the beautiful thing is when they come to a belief themselves, they say, I believe because now I know him, the Savior of the world. This is our pattern for going into Samaria. Now, I have to rush you through. Read your Bibles. It's amazing. Get in the Word. It's so thrilling. But in Acts 9, it says, the church in Samaria was established, built up in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, multiplying. And this week, Dan and I had the privilege of hosting Hungarian friends who stayed with us. And while we were talking, Christian said, oh, my father is a retired pastor, and he's up in the north of Hungary. And in his retirement, Jesus has given him a church among the Roma. Jesus has Samaria on his heart. Now, dear Lord Jesus, we worship you. Samaria is hard. You know. Will you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, this hard place of confusion, conflict, conflicting. We don't know how to do it. Would you help us, Jesus, to love you with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourselves, know the word, be willing to go into Samaria, stop, engage, see, speak, dialogue, offer living water. May you yourself be revealed, Savior of the world, Messiah, the one who will show all. Dear Lord Jesus, here we are, Asbury. Send us, we pray, in your holy name.